Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. According to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week, our capital campaign consultant, Pastor Dick Weirs, was here for our kickoff Sunday, and part of his job was to preach for us on that kickoff Sunday. And so he sat up here in this first pew. And if you were at first service last week, you might remember that the service started as normal with the acolyte coming up to light all these candles. And then she got over to the paschal candle. And because it's tall, she had kind of a hard time lighting it. So I go over to help. And because I'm only slightly taller than most of the acolytes, nothing happens. So the two of us kind of turn and look at big old Pastor Weirs. And he comes over and he lights it for us. Thanks. And then the service carries on. And we get to the sermon. And Pastor Weirs knocks it out of the park. He even had like a tagline, love goes through the tummy. It was a perfect sermon to our kickoff campaign, and I just loved it, and I was just so grateful. And I turn around when I get up here, and I see that you all loved it too, and I just was, oh, awesome. It was so great. And then as I'm sitting there, thinking of all this, this tiny part of me thinks back to Pastor Weirs making me look pretty short. Pastor Weirs having this great sermon. And for a brief moment, I think to myself, I should never invite him back again. Because it's not fair. It is not fair that I am short and he is tall. We didn't get to choose our parents. And it is not fair that he gets to show up every 6 months and pick, you know, hit a banger of a sermon. I have to do it weekly. It's not fair. And I was willing in that moment to deprive every single one of you the blessing of his future inspirational sermons and superb candle lighting skills because it wasn't fair to me. I recognize myself in the chief priests from our first reading in Acts. Peter and John have been building the church. They've been baptizing and healing people just as the resurrected Christ commanded them to do. But the chief priests, they don't like it. It's cutting in on their synagogue work. And so they have Peter and John arrested, and they're dragging them before the council to have them question. By what power and by what name did you do this? They ask. It's the only question they ask, and it's the only question that we need to hear to understand what this is really about for them. They aren't denying the things that the disciples, apostles now, can do in Jesus' name. Their problem is that it's not fair to them. Their faith doesn't have power. So why should Peter and John's faith have power? They are not experiencing blessing in the lives they are leading. So why should anyone else experience blessing in their following of Jesus? It's not fair. And they are willing to deprive all of these people their blessing because it is not fair to them. And as much as I want to vilify the chief priests, their response is really very human. It's very, very human to prefer that no one gets anything if someone is going to get an unfair amount. There's this economic study called the Ultimatum Game that shows just how much we are willing to sacrifice when it comes to fairness. Teddy, put up my little slide. In the game, these two happy people, a redhead and a bluehead, picture them sitting at a table. And someone puts $100 in the middle of the table and says to these two people, this money can be yours. The only thing you two have to do is one, redhead gets to decide how you split it. But bluehead gets to say yes or no. But here's the rub. If bluehead says no, nobody gets any money. And that free $100 is just gone. So logic would tell you that bluehead is going to say yes to any division. Whether it be 50-50, whether it be 80-20, bluehead just should say yes because it's free money, right? But what do you think actually happens? In all the games that get played, bluehead says no all the time. Why and when? When redhead does anything less than 50-50. So if the redhead says, okay, I'll take 60 bucks, you get 40. 90% of the time, bluehead said no. That's how committed to fairness we are, that we are willing to throw away free money if it means that someone else is going to get more of it unfairly. Does that make sense? Thanks, Teddy. It matters. Fairness matters. It matters so much to us that someone gets an unfair share. And in some respects, I kind of admire this. I really do. I admire that we are willing to sacrifice on the principle of fairness. But in other respects, when it's not a game, when it's not a blue and red head, when it's life, this plays out in heartbreaking ways. We find ourselves willing to begrudge others their blessings, willing to see others go without because we aren't getting those same blessings. And in our first reading today, that is exactly what those chief priests will go on to do. When Peter answers them, these people are healed because of Jesus Christ. The chief priests don't think to themselves, well, we should probably start following Jesus Christ too. Instead, they go on to say a few verses later, we cannot deny these signs. But to keep it spreading further among the people, let us order them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Do you see what's happening here? They would rather nobody experience blessing if they can't experience it too. That is our base human instinct. And I was thinking about what that looks like in my own heart with our building project. I am confident. I am confident in what we're doing. But if I'm being honest, there have been moments in the planning where pulling the plug seemed appealing. Last year, when I told my best pastor friend about this project, about parking lot and solar and sanctuary, I got to sanctuary remodel and he goes, oh my gosh, you're going to do a sanctuary remodel? That is the hardest thing I have ever done in ministry. Good luck. Thanks, pal. But he was right. It is hard. But for reasons I did not expect. It is hard for reasons of fairness. I want things to be fair. I want everyone to have what they hope for. And when there are moments that people I love and people I respect aren't getting exactly what they hope for, I have this impulse to do nothing. Never mind, forget I brought it up. To not make use of this blessing that we have. To not move forward because some of us will not get exactly what we hope for. And some of us will. And that's not fair. But something happened last week at our kickoff reminding me that my all too human feelings of fairness are not all that exist in this cold little Lutheran heart of mine. There is something else dwelling in us, and I hope in me. After worship and after Pastor Weir's awesome sermon that I'm not bitter about, a couple who doesn't belong to faith, but visits us on occasion, came up to me and asked for a capital campaign packet for themselves. And I was like, why? I mean, sure, you can have it, but why? You're not a member here. Their church isn't a place, or isn't in a place, rather, to be able to build like we are. And that's not fair, right? It's not fair that there are churches out there that aren't in the place we are. But in spite of their church not being in that place, they still want for our blessing. And that is why they asked for a packet. They want to see us experience joy and growth, even if their church might not get to. Something besides the human impulse for fairness empowered their support of our blessing here. And what that something is, brothers and sisters, is summed up in these words from our reading. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, this man is in good health in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in Peter, dwelling in each of us, that helps us want others to experience blessing even when we are not, to want others to have joy and peace and wholeness even when it is hard for us. Greater is he who lives in me than he who is living in the world. If many had gone on to read in 1 John, that's what it would have said right after today's verse. Greater is he who lives in me. Now, I have experienced this in my own life. Some 15 years ago, when I was going through just a horrible, contentious divorce, plenty of sin going around, myself included, that was making this just a tragedy upon tragedy. And on top of it, at the time, I was also struggling with a part of my faith that made it difficult for me to envision continuing in ministry. And in the midst of both of those things, I had a dream. I went to bed one night and I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a hand drawing on a chalkboard. And it doesn't really matter what those images were or what they meant. All that matters is that I knew somehow that Jesus' hand was drawing them. And I woke up in tears, and the answer to this faith issue that I had had for so long was there, now in my hands. And I was desperate to tell someone. But I know it sounds a little crazy to talk about Jesus coming to you in your dreams. So I didn't know who to tell. And I think, well, my ex-husband already thinks I'm crazy. And he knows about this journey that I have been on with faith. He does know this about me. So I'm going to tell him. I've got to tell someone. And I know that there has not been a kind word spoken between us for months. But I called him, and I told him about the dream. And then I waited and waited until finally he said, "Candace, I think you have had a vision from Jesus." He named my blessing. In the midst of all the terrible things we had said to each other, when fair would have been him hanging up the phone on me like I had done to him 100 times probably that week, he affirmed this merciful gift that Jesus had given me. It did not benefit him one bit, but he was able to summon up our shared faith and participate in my blessing. And you can do that too in your own life with people who are difficult and hard to love and hope for. And we can do it too in our life together as church. We can hope for each other's blessings. We can be joyful for each other's gifts. We can work toward the future together, empowered by the spirit of the Good Shepherd, who lives entirely to see his sheep get unfair blessings of sacrificial love. May God be with us in our daily lives. May God be with us in our life together as church. And may this Holy Spirit keep reaching out from our hearts to affirm what we see in each other, that there are unfair blessings abounding all around us in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and let's welcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.